And I hope to just land something in your spirit this morning. A little seed that you can take further on. Matthew 4 verse 1, those who've got Bibles. If you haven't got one, take the one from the person next to you. Matthew 4 verse 1 to 10. I'm not going to read it. You can read that at home. It is just where Jesus was baptized. And it's where he went into the wilderness. And for me, the life of Jesus tells me how I must live my life. What did Jesus do? Because many times people will come and argue with you about why must I get baptized? And then they want to come with a lot of information. But Jesus did it, so why mustn't we do it? Follow Jesus. Follow what he did. The first point I want to make, the next slide, is being led by the Spirit. It's so easy to be led by the world. The world has so many things that he wants to impart in us and dump on us that we want to stray that way. But God said, follow my Spirit. So we need to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to know what he wants, to know where he's leading us. And your destiny, we many times think our destiny is where? To a place. To Franz Hoek. To Stellenbosch. To Worcester. But it's not. Our destiny is to become an anointed person for Christ. And it is taking your mind away of what is going on around you and trying to think, God, what do you want to do? Holy Spirit, where do you want to take us? In Deuteronomy 28, when we look to Israel, what happened there? They were led out into the wilderness. And they had to hear the voice of God clearly. If they didn't hear what God is saying, they would have go the wrong way. And even being led into a wilderness, what does that tell you? I don't want to go there. I don't want to be there. But Israel obeyed the voice of God and went into the desert. The same with Jesus. We'll get there just now. When we as a person, as an individual, want to be set apart, we must be totally dependent on the Spirit and obey his command and where he leads us. The second point I want to make, being led by the Spirit into a wilderness. Who wants to go there? Who wants to be led into a wilderness? Anyone? No, I didn't think so. So if when we read this passage, if you read Matthew 4 verse 1 just a little bit on, you'll see Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, how does a wilderness look? Dry? Desolate? Yeah. Barren? Hot? Unfruitful? There's nothing. Who wants to go there? Who wants to spend time in a wilderness and that on your own? No one else to speak to. If we look at Israel and Jesus, both had to be obedient to go into a desert, to go into the wilderness, to spend time with God so that he can lead them further on. Jesus was totally obedient to his Father because he knew his Father loved him. It's much easier to go to a nice place. Franz Hoek. It is. It's much easier. If God tells you, go to Saudi Arabia, Arabia, go and minister under those people, it's difficult there. More difficult than what it is here. But if he leads you, you need to go. You need to step out. Even if the Holy Spirit leads us against our own will, then we must obey. And it's not always easy. I think in all of our lives, something happened in the past where you have led you in a certain way where you didn't want to go, where you didn't want to spend time. And just to be obedient to God, to the Holy Spirit, where He leads you, will take much of you, even if He leads you in a place of dryness. Because sometimes He calls us to come to the side, not to be with others, to be alone, to spend time with Him. The other thing is, we mustn't think that when we do it, we must try and... what's the English word? I'm Afrikaans. Ander beïndruk nie. Impress others. Yeah. We mustn't try and impress other people. It's so that we can learn, so that God can use us further on. So an anointed person must obey and act on the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes. At all times. At all times, even into a barren place. Even into a place where He wants you to be alone with Him. And it's not always easy to think of yourself sitting in a place where there's no one. You can be in a wilderness area in this town, in yourself, and think, Lord, what is happening with me? Why doesn't the breakthrough come? Why am I battling like this? And that's for you, that's a dry place. But there's certain things we must do to get out of it. Point number three I want to make, passing the test and temptations of life. Now, when Jesus went into the desert, it wasn't easy for Him. Think of it this way, no food, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. I don't think we can imagine that. It's hot, it's dry. And what happens next? Oh, Satan. He comes to tempt. And that's what he's doing. When he sees you that you are at your lowest, he will come and try to let you fall. How many of us were at a low point in life? I'm not trying to say that you now, but who was in a low point? All of us, nearly all of us. And then the enemy tries to come and tell us, listen here, do this, do that. Why did God send us into a wilderness area? Why do that to someone He loves? It's in order to promote us. Before Jesus went, got baptized, went into the wilderness, He didn't do one miracle. Nothing. He had to go through the testing before He even started ministering. God says, I am a holy fire, and I want to burn away all the impurities within you so that you may stand completely purified in My presence. That is what He's telling us. He's doing this because He wants to have us holy. Holy vessels for Him so that He can use us. Again, Exodus 15 verse 22 to 23. When we look at Israel, where they were led into the wilderness, they came to a place called Marah. Now when they got there, they went for days without water. Suddenly there's water. What happened? Bitter. The water was bitter, that's why they called that place Marah. Gave it its name Marah, that means bitterness. In your dry season, it isn't a good place to be. In your wilderness season, it's not a nice place. And then things happen. You think you are getting to a certain place, and then something hits you again. What do you do with it? it will bring the good or the bad out of you. Because God is testing you. It's in that testing time, in that temptation time, that He's busy with you, molding you. And He's there all the time. I remember when I went through a difficult time in my life a few years ago. Oh, it was really bad. And I thought God even didn't care anymore. And that's how we feel. You think, oh, I can just go on with my life. He won't care. But then suddenly you think, no, but this is what He's called me for. This is what I must do. And then you get on track again. Because you can abort it or you can get on the wagon and go with it. That's what He has called you to do. And this is what separates us believers from unbelievers. If something come over their path, they won't think twice, but they will go with it. Where we will stand back and say, okay, Lord, what do you say? What must I do? What, how would you do it? And I must do it in the same way. We must handle the seasons in the wilderness. We think it's for a long time. It feels if it's never going to stop. But it will stop eventually, and we will move on. We have to allow God to take us in and through that season in life so that He can take all the rubbish out of us and put in that what He wants to do. And that is a step closer to the anointing, taking everything out. Let go. Point number 4, passing the test of the flesh. Okay, now we've been tested and tempted in a certain way where God is taking away food. He's taking away water, nothing to eat. He's taking away people you've trusted. He's taking away people that were caring for you. Everyone slips away. And here you stand alone. And now, another temptation, another test, the test of the flesh. How am I going to handle that? Matthew 4, verse 3 to 4. Now then the tempter came to Him. He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So now He tries to tempt Jesus in another way. We must pass the test of the flesh. If there's a season in your life that God is speaking to you with, that you must do a certain thing or not do a certain thing, then you must obey. For me, I know this is a valley where they like wine. They like to spend time. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing. For 30 years, I don't drink nothing. I wasn't an alcoholic. I enjoyed a glass of red wine. 30 years ago, God told me, no alcohol in your mouth for what He's called me for. Now, am I going to obey? Or am I going to drink something now and then when no one's looking? No, I want to obey so that He can work through me. That's just something simple. That's why I'm telling you this, because many times we think, oh, it's a major thing that I mustn't do. But it's the small things that He's asking you, don't do that, do this. And then are you going to obey? So when Jesus was on one of His lowest points in the wilderness, Satan comes and tells Him, listen, the stones, you can turn into bread anytime. But He said, no. I'm not going to do it. That's not what God told me to do. So, tested on the one side, tested on the other side. Makes it even harder. For you, it can be something totally different. We are walking in the anointing of the Most High. And we must know it's a privilege. People, we sometimes get so entangled in day-to-day work. Day-to-day things, at work, at your house, that we think, ach, I can just go and do what I want to do. But it's a privilege. Even to be a Christian is a privilege. To worship, to exalt our living God. I at times thought, He don't need us. He can do whatever He wants to, but He chooses to use us, to work through us. And that's a privilege for us to walk with Him. Point number five, misuse of authority. Then the devil took Him on a high, holy city. What do we see here? At his lowest point, no food, no drink, it's hot. Take Him up on a high place. What was Jesus asked to do? Misuse His power. He was tempted to misuse His power. That what God created to be pure and clean, He wanted to come and make it dirty, unholy. That's what He tried to do. And He was tempted to accomplish some personal feat with the devil. That's what it was. It was a personal feat between Him and Satan. Am I going to jump and save myself? Or am I going to obey what God has called me for? You can have a managing post in your work. You can even be the owner of your business. How do you run it? Do you let personal things get in the way? Or do you run it the way God wants you to do? With the people around you. Even in that, God sees how you work with people that is put with you, around you. He tests you to see, are you going to obey? Or are you going to misuse your power? That what He has given you. Many times we as owners think, it's mine. I'm the boss. No one's going to tell me. I know someone. He was in a marriage. Unfortunately, they divorced now years back. He told his wife, what I say is law. Money comes first, then you. He told her that. What is that? God makes us as husbands, just something I throw in, head of the house. But how are you going to use that? Are you going to manipulate, misuse, or do it in love the way God created it to be? Point number six, tempted to take shortcuts in life. Now we think, but did Jesus, was He tempted to take a shortcut? Matthew 4:8-10. Again the devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain. And what did He tell Him? Jump. What would have happened? What would have happened if Jesus jumped? Have you thought of that? He was asked to take a shortcut. He didn't have to go through the trials anymore. He didn't have to go through cities. He didn't have to do miracles. He didn't have to go through beating. He didn't have to go through the crucifixion. That would have been the shortest way to save the world. Because why did He come? It's to save us. That's why Jesus came. He came to save us. We were lost. And He came to save the world, the people in this world. And that would have been the shortest way for Him to go and save us all. But no, he didn't back down on what the orders and the command of God was on his life. He went through the beating. He went through the misuse, how people spit on Him, crucified Him, because He knew, in a sense, there's a job to do. He knew that's the only way he's going to reach the hearts of people in order for them to obey him and to know who his father is. Sometimes it is not about getting the job done, but it is how it was done when we look back. What happened in the past, not just the future. The last point I want to make. Go to the place where your anointing can flourish. Luke 4 verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus had the wisdom to know where he had to go. I would have thought he would go to Jerusalem. Well, that's where he grew up, or Nazareth. Because he knew the people there. He knew exactly how they were thinking. They knew him. But no, instead, he didn't choose to go there. He instead chose to go to Galilee, to minister in Galilee, to do miracles in Galilee. If you look at Nazareth, what happened there? Did he do any miracles there? Yes. Just a few. Now, if you look at Scripture, Mark 6, verse 2 to 5, we read there. And it's interesting, because I would think Jesus can do miracles anywhere. That's how my thinking was all the years. But no, there was a certain anointing for a certain place. And when he ministered there, he could only do a few miracles. Not much. He couldn't do many miracles. If you read, especially verse 5, Mark verse 6, verse 5, you can read that. But the Bible didn't say that he did not do any miracles. It says clearly he could not do many miracles. And we think always, no, he can do as much as you want to. When you are in your Jerusalem or in your Nazareth, you will not find fulfillment. And I believe there's people sitting here this morning that's at a place where you say, Lord, what now? How am I going to get out of this? Where am I going to get my fulfillment? How do we feel when we experience fulfillment? And that is to have an inner peace and joy that only comes from God. At times when I was in my earlier years, if just something small happened, I look at these young people here and I think, where was I? But something small happened and then I worry. I said, Lord, how am I going to get through this? How will I see the other side through this? And now when you get older, I'm not that old, but when you get older, you start to realize, well, when I was young, it happened, but nothing happened much with me. I got through it. And I woke up at nights, and I think, Lord, I need to worry. But I'm not worrying. But that's a process. It's not because of who I am. It's because of what God did in me. And that's what he's doing in you also. He wants to do it in you. It's a process where we must go through, so that he can just calm everything within us. We must get to our Galilee. The worship team can come up, please. We must get to our Galilee, where God wants to use us, where you will find your fulfillment, where your anointing can flow, that what God has put on your life. I'm not saying that everyone was going to ministry. God has put something in your hand. Skills. Certain things. There's someone here, you are in a job, but you are so frustrated. And you don't know how to get out of it. God has got something new for you. And if you want to come forward, we'll pray with you just now. You might sit here today and think, Lord, how am I going to get out of this desert area? You sit with a lot of questions. You sit with hurt. And we would like to pray with you. As the worship team will play, I would ask you to come forward, because there's certain people that must make choices that came out this morning. And I wrote the name I wrote down early this morning when I was praying. God wants to restore some of you. He wants to bring restoration in your life. There's also someone here with a broken relationship, and you are battling a lot. Is there anyone like here? Okay, you are battling a lot. We will pray with you. So if there's anyone, you can come forward so long and we will pray with you. I'll just, Pastor In, pray. Those who need to go and have some coffee, you can go and have coffee. We will keep on ministering in front here. This lady, I've got a word for you. You can come to me. I want to say it personally to you, okay? Come to me just after when we start ministering. Okay, Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. And Lord, as we go on ministering, I pray that you will just keep on imparting in the lives of people this morning. Father, bring change in the lives. Restore this morning so that your purpose and your plan will come into fulfillment for them. And Father, those who must leave now, I pray, Father, that you will bless them. That you will be with each one during this week. And Father, that you will draw each one of us into a closer relationship with you during this week, in Jesus' name. Amen.